Coach P's perspective.
Serve God, work hard, family coaching, play my part. Faith is something that I use every day, game changing moves. Sit back, relax, and listen. Inspiration is my mission. Twitch, got your back, Coach 96, we do the most. PCO be in my brain, CSL is in my veins. Ain't no stopping or no blocking, heaven's where I aim. In order to succeed, we cannot be lazy. Repping Jesus all the time, and yeah, we're going crazy.
Hey there, family and friends. Hey, Coach Chad Parks here with Coach P's Perspective, where we discuss coaching, inspiration, and faith. Today, before we get started, I want to give a real quick shout out to the Lane Frost brand. The Lane Frost brand is family-owned, operated, inspirational, and they are all about character. This is my favorite apparel brand. I only wear Lane Frost brand hats. They have t-shirts, cologne, you name it. Again, this is family-owned and operated. This is right here, small-town America, and it's all representing the late, great, world champion bull rider Lane Frost, who was one of my icons, one of my heroes growing up in the state of Oklahoma. So make sure you check out the Lane Frost brand. You can go to lanefrost.com or jump on all the major social media outlets and take a look. They always post inspiration and they bring light to everything they do. Again, shout out to the Lane Frost brand. In today's episode, I'm going to discuss how good coaching is not soft. But before I do that, I just want to shout out and say thank you, really. Thank you for everyone who has jumped on and given our podcast a 5-star review. Just incredible, right? So we thank you so much for the support. And, you know, people that write reviews sometimes look at these. I'm humbled. They're awesome. You know, and as you watch these or as you listen to these episodes, if you would, you know, if you're moved, give us a 5-star review. Go ahead and I don't care if it's 2 words or if you want to expound upon that, write a review. That helps us out, helps us to get the word out there to more people so that others can be inspired by the podcast as well. And that's really the goal here. So let me read a couple of these. This one comes from Koffel's the name, all right? Sometimes the full name is not on here. It says, true servant leader. Both on and off the mat, I've witnessed Coach P be a loving father that served his children's needs over his emotions. I've witnessed him love his wife and support her in her path. I've witnessed him lead with a quiet yet deliberate passion that makes all feel supported and inspired. He asks of you what he's willing to do and loves you where you're at, as he models where you should be. Definitely a podcast drenched with principles that can be implemented no matter what you do. Approved. Love you, Coach P, and appreciate you sharing who you are. Thank you so much. Apparently, somebody I know on this one. Koffel is the name is what's on there. All right. Another one from BW Payne. Coach P, you always bring high energy and a reminder of leadership and life principles, helping all of us become better parents, leaders, and friends. Coach P, thank you for keeping me sharp. So pumped I now have the opportunity to follow you on podcast. Again, thank you so much. I mean, we've written, you know, got a number of 5-star reviews and written reviews. I do not take those lightly. I read every one of them, and I'll make sure to continue to shout people out as they put those on there. And again, it helps us, you know, really get the word out. You know, some of these podcast episodes will just be me speaking like today. And then other times, usually in a week, I'm going to have one I put out with just me. It's a solo episode and another where I interview someone and we'll have high performance people on here. People that are at the top of their game, athletically, coaching, business, you name it. If they're a high performer, I'm going to try to get them on here and we have a lot of confirmed guests coming up. So back to today's episode. This is Good Coaching is Not Soft. Now, I want to tell you a story real quick. So my dad is a high school wrestling coach, or he's retired now, but he's in the National Hall of Fame for coaching wrestling. And he had an assistant coach, Coach Duke Atterbury. I've known Coach Atterbury my entire life. He was our football coach. His sons are some of my best friends. Coach Atterbury is just an incredible human being. He's an incredible man, still coaching to this day. Actually, he's been battling cancer and beating cancer. You know, and none of us even had a doubt there, right? Coach Atterbury is a tough, tough man. He's thriving in the midst of sickness right now, you know, going through this, but just a great attitude and someone who will push you to your absolute limits. So Coach Atterbury was our football coach. He was also my dad's assistant wrestling coach. And really a big part of what he did was run our conditioning. And then he's sort of a motivational guru. For me, work ethic it's always been a priority. My dad prioritized it. You know, we painted houses and mowed yards in the summertime. I've always been part of sports. My dad used to be in the bodybuilding. I've been in the weight room for, you know, since I've been a kid. And work ethic is just, my dad always, you know, taught us and lived the example, and my mom lived the example. You're never going to get anywhere great. You're never going to achieve anything unless you're willing to work for it. Coach Atterbury is cut from the same cloth, and Coach Atterbury is able to take athletes and just push them to the next level. So periodically I tell this story or I think about this story. And whenever I was, I don't know, I mean, throughout the majority of high school, but I think this is my senior year, Coach Atterbury would keep me after every single practice. And these are wrestling practices that are often brutal. Two and a half hours of just getting after it. You know, it's built in strength conditioning along with wrestling technique and drilling and live wrestling and all these things. Well, Coach Atterbury wanted to make me the absolute best I could be. So he would keep me every single day after practice and put me through extra strength training or extra conditioning. It's just what we did, right? I never questioned it because I knew Coach Atterbury. I know he loves me. He has my best interests at heart. So this one particular day, we had a really, really tough wrestling practice. Practice is over, and I hear, "Parks, let's go." And so I know, and that's how Coach Atterbury talked. And he's got this rough voice and from the South, you know, so kind of country. And anyway, he said, "Parks, let's go." And I knew it's time, you know, I'm about to go in and just get mollywopped by Coach Atterbury here in some sort of conditioning. But I also loved it, try to push myself as much as I could. On this particular day, he kept somebody else in the room. We had an Airdyne bike set up, like an assault type bike. And then in our wrestling room at that time, wasn't a really big room. And there were monkey bars that went all the way across the room. And we had two big heaters on each end, so that sucker was hot. And those monkey bars would get really slick. So what we did is we taped, just use athletic tape, and we taped every single bar so that as we were going across the monkey bars, you had a little bit of grip and you wouldn't just slide off because they would literally sweat, you know, from all the condensation and the heat in the room. On this particular day, Coach Atterbury had myself and another young man. One of us would be on the Airdyne bike. Another one would be doing monkey bars. And as soon as you hopped off those, you would go right into bear crawls. And again, let me go back and say this. This is after we've already been through a two and a half hour practice. So Coach Atterbury has me on this circuit here, just straight getting after it. And we're going and we're going and we're going. And then finally, there's a point where he stops and tells the other young man, he says, "Hey, yeah, you can go ahead and leave the room. Take a break," or "you're done for the day, actually. Parks, take a break real quick." Well, I take a quick little break. Who knows, maybe 30 seconds, a minute, something like that. Coach Atterbury puts me right back on it. I'm going and I'm going, I'm going. I'm on the Airdyne and I'm doing sprints and then I'm going across the monkey bars and then I'm doing bear crawls. And, you know, I lifted a lot of weights. I had real bad, and I still do, have real bad calluses on my hands from weightlifting. And, well, you go across monkey bars that have tape on them a bunch and eventually that kind of wears on your calluses. So there's a point where I jump off the monkey bars, I start to bear crawl. And then I realized my hands are bleeding. So a couple of calluses got ripped off, hands are bleeding. Coach Atterbury, it's, you know, at some point built in here, says stop, take a quick little break. So I'm standing there on the mat. I have my hands on my knees. Blood is literally dripping off my hands onto the wrestling mat. My dad walks in. So I see him out of the corner of my eye. He walks in the room and he looks. And I didn't say a word, but with my eyes, I'm just yelling like, "Please help," with my eyes. My dad looks at me. Just kind of shakes his head and turns and walks out of the room. And then Coach Atterbury is like, let's go, back on it. So I jump right back on and I'm going. I don't know how long we went, but I can tell you this. I've never been broken by a coach before or after, but I was broken during that. I literally got pushed to my breaking point. I found where my wall was and I got broke and I just stopped and started walking. Coach Atterbury told me to get back down and bear crawl, and I shook my head no. I didn't say a word. I just shook my head no, and I continued to walk. He yelled at me. I continued to walk. Now, in all reality, maybe I walked for 15, 20, 30 seconds. It felt like 5 minutes because I was scared of Coach Atterbury, and I respected him at the same time. So I jumped down. I continued on. I did a few more rounds, and then we were done. All right? I say all this. For one, if you know Coach Atterbury, this is not abnormal. I mean, you know, Coach Atterbury, you know, I have a cousin who's a couple times state champion heavyweight wrestler. And, you know, Coach Atterbury would work him out and take him outside of town, drop him off, and he'd run back in, things like that. For me, I love that kind of stuff. I'm a little bit old school as a coach. I don't believe in, you know, degrading anybody, putting anybody down, but I do believe in hard work. Coach Atterbury is one of those guys who would make you work hard, and he would tell you when you were doing wrong, but he would also build you up. This man is just like walking motivation. So for me, going through all this training was extremely hard, but I know there was a reason behind it. And that's why I wanted to share this story on the podcast today. There was a reason behind it. Let me go through a couple of these things. One, I always talk about relationships, but Coach Atterbury built a relationship with me. I'd known him since I was a kid. I've been to his house many times. My dad coached football with him, so I've been in the football locker room. I sat in there during film, all those things with Coach Atterbury since I'd been a kid all the way up until I was playing, and then he was coaching me in the sport of wrestling. So I had this relationship with him, right? I also knew through his actions that he cared about me. And he didn't care just by saying it, okay? He would let you know. But also, the man would try to get the absolute most out of you. And you just knew as an athlete, it was because he saw this potential in you. And so you wanted to run through a wall for him. I wanted to do everything I could. If Coach ever told me to do it, I believed it, and I believed it was going to make me better, and I went for it. And it did, you know? And like I said, he held me accountable. There were times I did stuff. I remember one time in middle school football where I kicked a guy in the head whenever he was down. The guy hit me in the back a couple times, and I was mad, and Coach Atterbury happened to be there, and I walk off the field, he jerked me over to the side and got onto me and set me straight, you know? Same thing in wrestling. If I had bad sportsmanship, he'd pull me out in the hallway. He didn't do it for everybody, but pull me out in the hallway and, you know, lay down the law. He's that kind of guy. But he's also the kind of guy that would come and put his arm around you and say, hey, how you doing today? And have a conversation. Tell you he loved you. Motivate you. I can't tell you how many times before an actual wrestling match, Coach Atterbury, Parks, come here. I'd go over and then he'd make a bet with me. He'd say, all right, hey, if you take this guy down 6 times and then pin him, then I'm going to take you and buy you a Gatorade, you know, or I'll get you a lunch or something like that. It didn't take much, right? I mean, just the fact that he pulled me aside and said it was motivation enough. So I'd go out there and take the guy down 6 times and pin him and then earn my Gatorade. He also, every time I came off the wrestling mat, would grab me and say, don't get satisfied. You know, and at first I was kind of like, why would he say that? But then I realized after a couple times of him saying, don't get satisfied, Coach Atterbury wanted me to continue to progress. And that's why he pushed me like he did. So whenever my high school career was over and had the opportunity to go wrestle in college, because my dad had pushed me so hard, because of the way I worked in the summer, and because I had coaches like Coach Atterbury who pushed me to my limit, who found that wall pretty much on a daily basis, that mental and physical wall, and really it's mental, that I had, would take me there and then push me beyond it. So now the wall is back a little further. And then the next day I'd get pushed back. And what happens is every time that wall continues to go back further and further and further, you just get mentally stronger, you get mentally tougher, and you're able to push your body to places you didn't know you could before. So now you get stronger and you get faster, you get in better shape. Those things all build confidence. You know you're putting in work that nobody else is putting in, or you're putting in work beyond what other people are putting in. So for me, whenever I went to college, that was big, because if you are a college athlete, if you've been a college athlete, or if you haven't been, and let me give you an explanation, but if you have been, then you know about this, okay? So for college wrestling, preseason workouts, you're working out 5 days a week. You show up in August, it's hot, and you're running every single day. It may be sprint work, it may be hill work, you may be running stadiums, carrying dumbbells or a plate or another wrestler on your back. You may be doing distance run, carrying dumbbells. You may be doing bear crawls up hills, all kinds of stuff. And that's just the running portion, right? So then you're lifting weights probably every day or most days of the week. And at that point, when you get in college, you're pretty strong, you know? So you may be in there lifting really heavy and then having to go out and do sprints, or lifting heavy and then going out and doing a 10-mile run. These aren't just things I'm making up. These are things that we really did. And this is 5 days a week. And then there's a point where you can start getting on the mats and doing stuff. And then the actual season comes. So you have a couple months of just hardcore conditioning, hardcore training, beyond what most people have ever even done in their life, you're doing every single day. For me, that really wasn't a big deal. A lot of people don't make it in college sports because of that. And I'll just speak on wrestling because that's what I did in college. But, you know, we would start the team with 60 guys. And at the end of preseason, we'd be down to 40 guys. And by the time we get to Christmas, we'd be down to 30 guys in the room. You know, and you don't want to lose people. And we try not to lose people. And as a high school coach, I try not to lose people. And I think we do a really good job. Now, earlier in my coaching career, when I was super hardcore, we would run some people off a little more. And there are some people that come out and quit and realize wrestling is not for them. But for the most part, people stay because of our culture and they buy into it. But college wrestling is just so tough. College sports is so tough because you're going to school, you're trying to make good grades, and then everything you do, it becomes a business. It becomes your job. It becomes part of who you are. Because of the preparation that Coach Atterbury had given me and that my dad had given me, whenever I went in and started doing preseason workouts, I could handle them. And I actually sought out the best guys in the room. So the first school I wrestled for, Missouri Valley, they had just won an NAIA national championship the year before. So when I went in there, I was like, who are the national champions? Who are the All-Americans? And I didn't say it out loud. I just looked for them. And then on runs, I tried to stay up with those guys. If we're doing hill sprints, I try to sprint with those guys. If we're in there lifting weights, I try to lift with those guys. Then we get into the actual wrestling season. A lot of the freshmen are wrestling each other. I'm trying to jump in with the All-Americans and take some whoopings. But what happens is it pays off. Now, one of the hardest parts of college wrestling is everybody in the room is a stud. In high school, it may just be you or maybe you and a few other guys. Not every single person you wrestle is an absolute hammer. In college, everybody you wrestle is a hammer in your room and in competition. Again, some guys can't handle that. They don't like not being the guy in the room or taking beatings in the room on a daily basis. So it's either you get better or you get broke, and a lot of people get broke and they can't handle it. Whenever you've had someone like Coach Atterbury push you and believe in you and drive back your walls and also encourage you so many times, whenever that thought of quitting comes into your head during conditioning or that thought of quitting comes into your head for competition or even actually quitting the team, it leaves pretty fast. It just goes kind of in one ear and out the other type thing where the thought just floats across your brain and gone because you've been preparing for this for a long time. So as a coach, there are so many things I learned from Coach Atterbury, and there's so many life lessons here. In life, we have to be motivated, but we also have to have people around us that are iron sharpens iron. People around us that are going to push us and take us to the next level, help us be able to go to a point where like, okay, here's where I think is good. And then they say, no, there's more in you. And then you go to great. You have to have people like that. It's very rare that you can push yourself to that level. Now, I train really hard, even to this day. 42 years old, I train really hard. If you jump on social media, you can see my workouts. And really, the workouts I do with my wrestling team is even harder than those. And I jump in and do the conditioning and stuff with them. I'm not saying that to brag. I'm saying that because it's literally part of who I am now. It's built into my character. But even at that, if I have to work out by myself, I do not, even trying as hard as I can, I do not work out with the same intensity as when I have at least one workout partner, where I have a group of people that I'm working out with. So whenever I'm working out with my athletes, I want to be the example. I want them to know, here's what it looks like to work hard so that they do that and reach their highest potential. So having someone like Coach Atterbury in your corner, having someone like that who's iron sharpens iron. If you're in high school, you can't pick your coaches. If you're in college, you choose where you want to go to school. Maybe sometimes that's limited upon scholarships and, you know, things like that. Maybe the area of study that you want to go into. But there are a lot of good coaches out there. So you have a coach or you have somebody, maybe even a teammate, who pushes you really hard day in and day out. You have to have those relationships, okay? Mentally, you have to be willing to go to those places. And I'm a Christian. I'm all about light. But sometimes I say, like, I'm going to my dark place, right? NF, he's a Christian rapper. Some people say it's like a little dark. Sometimes it's like going to this dark place or this blank place in your mind whenever you're training really hard. In life, adversity gets thrown at you. And then you have to make a decision. Am I going to quit or am I going to fight back? Sometimes in life, you got to go to that dark place in your mind. Now, don't stay there, right? But it's not a dark place of depression. It's a dark place of motivation. And it's a place where you get tough, you get gritty, and you push yourself through. That's what it is. So it's a little bit hard to explain unless you've been there. And I think that something like sports or working out is a great safe environment and a great natural way to put yourself through adversity to prepare for those times whenever adversity is thrown on you that you can't prepare for. Now, there are things in life that are way beyond anything we can do in sport or what we, you know, can do conditioning that only God can get us through. But there are many things that by being mentally tough and pushing yourself on a, you know, consistent basis and having somebody else push you can prepare you to be successful in a number of venues or areas of life. Okay, those same principles and the same things, they cross over. Caring for other people. Coach Atterbury cared for me. Caring for people is not soft. Good coaching is not soft. if you care for somebody, you don't just let them do whatever and say, oh, it's okay. So if my wrestlers come in the room and they're giving me a half effort, I'm not going to be like, oh, that's okay, don't worry about it. Nah, I'm going to get, whether they're the best wrestler in the room or the worst, if we ain't doing it right, we're doing it over and we're going to get the best effort out of you. And tomorrow we may have to come back and do it again. So when the athletes are self-motivated, when they come in and they go really hard, it's a good day. Sometimes coach got to kick them in the butt though. Sometimes I got to snatch them up and say, let's go. We're stepping it up. We're doing it again. And then yeah, I jump into Coach P mode and we go to work, right? But it's what I expect of myself. It's how I was trained. It's how I was pushed. And it's what I believe. I don't always take what other coaches did and try to implement that unless I think it was really, really good. Okay. All coaching should be thought out. Why are you doing this? Does it have a true purpose? Does it really make an impact? Don't just coach how you were coached. But take the things that were great from coaches that you have or leaders that have poured into your life and utilize those and pass those on so the next generation can get those. Good coaching is not soft. There is nothing soft about Coach Atterbury. And if you saw his work ethic, the way he painted, he also painted houses, the way he painted in the summer, the way he just lifted weights. You know, the man was an absolute maniac in there. People were scared to work out with him, but he pushed himself like that every single day. And whenever he did it and he was a living example, you were willing to do it. Sometimes it's tough when somebody says, hey, do this. You know, maybe it is, you know, dealing with fitness and they're eating a cheeseburger and they're telling you to go to work. That's tough. But whenever you see them doing it and you see them busting it, you know, I often think about this with my dad, watching him mop the mats after wrestling practice, or watching him back in those days, you know, we would like have practice gear and then he would wash it after every wrestling practice and it was ready for the next day. Seeing him as the leader sacrifice and clean the room and do all those things, that spoke volumes to me and it spoke volumes to a lot of our wrestlers. He was a leader who was willing to get his hands dirty and jump in there and do the work with us, you know, and that's exactly how Coach Atterbury was. Many of these extra workouts that I was putting in, he was right there with me. You know, he may put some weight on the bench press and say, hey, see how many times you can bench this. And then he would jump down there and do it too. And then we would just continue to go back and forth. There were a number of things that, not everything. Sometimes he was just there yelling in my ear. He was just there motivating me. Sometimes when I was cutting weight, he was standing right there beside me and I'm jumping rope, you know, and he's just keeping me going. Let's go, Parks. Let's go. Don't stop. You know, things like that. Because he cared. He spent his time and he cared. Good coaching is not soft. So if you're a coach out there, use your personality. I've said this before, I'll probably say it again, I'm not a yeller. If I do yell, then you know things got real serious real quick, all right? But I am a motivator, and I am going to push my athletes and get them to go. And that can be done multiple ways. Again, use your personality. But whenever you do it with love, and whenever you're building people up, whenever you're holding people accountable, all those things make you a better coach. All those things allow your athletes to reach their highest potential and to get after it, and put themselves in position for success. You can't guarantee wins, but you can put somebody in position for success. That's what those things do. So as I wrap this up, I want to let you know, Coach Atterbury, first off, thanks for being my guy. Thanks for loving me. Thanks for pushing me all those years. I'll never forget it. And I'm not the only athlete. There's a whole bunch of us. All right. We have all these Atterbury-isms, things that Coach Atterbury would say. Things like, you gonna run so I throw up and I'm just watching. That's something Coach Atterbury say and exactly how he'd say it. You know, somebody come over, and I remember one time a guy at a football game had his finger dislocated, and he's like, you got 9 more fingers, suck it up. Taped them together, and they're back out there, right? He's just that kind of guy. But also funny. You know, somebody jogging by, and he'd be like, let's go, Wonder Bread, out here loafing. You know, so you have these little coaching jokes and things like that that he would say. But Coach Atterbury, I remember all those. I used some of those. My athletes probably think those came from me, but they came from you. Thank you, and I love you. All the coaches out there that positively, you know, positively impact people's lives. All the leaders out there, man, we got to move, you know, move this beyond sports. All the leaders out there that are positively impacting people's lives, the teachers, CEOs, whatever it is, man, in every single area of life, right? Right now, this COVID-19, we see like the essential and non-essential. Now everybody's essential, man. Everybody makes this thing work. Those people that are positively pouring into other people's lives and bringing out the best in them, thank you. And then for everybody who has a chance to be a leader, again, use your personality, but don't be soft. Hold people accountable, push them, make them better on a daily basis. And I promise they're going to thank you for it in the long run. They're going to thank you for it down the road. And sometimes they don't see it right away. Hindsight's 20/20. Sometimes they come back later on. But the right thing to do is always the right thing to do, whether other people are doing it or not. And as a coach, as a leader, the right thing to do is get the most out of your people, motivate them, get them pumped up, push them to their limits, and help them, put them in position to reach the highest level of success. All right, thanks for jumping on another episode of Coach P's Perspective. Love you guys. Good coaching is not soft. Take this, pass it on to somebody else, please. Share this podcast with anybody you know that needs it. And again, jump on and give us a 5-star review. Thank you so much. God bless.
Podcast complete, now me working overtime. I'm just a vessel for the spirit. When it's in me, then I shine. If the clay gets broken, he makes some whole new pottery. Repent for your sins, tell Satan to stay up off of me. With a new step, CSL rep, pop, lock and rock. Coach P, who never stops.